us. We looked at the first chapter of the Gospel of John and saw how John described the coming of Jesus and what that means to us. We looked at what the Hebrew writers told us in the first chapter of Hebrews. And last week we were looking at what Paul told us in the book of Colossians. Tonight I want us to look at what Peter tells us in his version of the gospel. And it's found in 1 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 3. We'll read it and then we'll see if we can make some comments about it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with a joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about your grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when He predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in these things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit, sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that it will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, be also holy in all of your conduct. Since it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." If you call on Him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for your sake. You, who through Him are believers in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God, having purified your soul by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all the glory like the flower of the grass, and the grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever, and this word is the good news that was preached to you. In this letter, this chapter, Peter tells us his version of the gospel. He tells us that God is great, and he starts off with this great announcement of His goodness. And then because God is great and has all power and because of who He is, He caused us to be born again through a living hope, He said, and through a living resurrection. That's the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, that we were born again to a living hope. And verse 3 also tells us this makes a connection between His life and our life. And this connection that he's referring to, is the promise of an inheritance that we have. Inheritance that he describes in more detail in verse 4. He tells us this inheritance, this promise, that God has given to us, this connection that connects us to eternal life, he tells us that it's imperishable, it's undefiled, and it's unfading, and it's kept in heaven. He's telling us that it's secure and we can count on it, and it's not going to be like most things that we would inherit that will pass away. He tells us in verse 5 that it's guarded by God through faith. This is the second time that he's told us that we get this promise through something. First, he told us in verse 3 it was through the resurrection of Jesus. Now he tells us it's through faith. He will remind us again through faith, and he will also tell us one more thing before he's through. He tells us in verse 4, this inheritance, remember, is undefiled, imperishable, and unfading. He's telling us it's ready to be revealed at the last time. This is good news, and this good news is so wonderful, it overshadows the slightly bad news that he gives us in verse 6. He tells us it's ready to be revealed in the last time. This good news causes us to rejoice, and we rejoice even though for a little while we suffer in verse 6. Why would we suffer? He said, remember your faith. Your faith is being tested here, that you're being brought, this promise is coming to you through faith, so we have to make sure it's the real thing. It's a genuine thing, and this faith is going to be tested. It's going to be tested like gold is tested. Fire is involved in it. It's a harsh difficulty that's given there, and that's what he's offering to us. He's reminding us of how it passes. But he does tell us that when we pass the test, we praise God, and God praises us in Christ Jesus. It's a glorious thing when our faith proves true, and that what we have claimed was the word of, was our faith in God is genuine, and God keeps his promises. It's a glorious thing that gives God glory, and it gives us glory as we've seen him. In verse 8, he tells us we haven't seen him yet, but we still believe in him. Well, good for you. That's exactly what he's wanting us to see here. The end of this faith fills us with joy and glory. Joy and glory are mentioned over and over again in this book. It's a wonderful thing that he's offering to us. And he tells us in verse 9, the end of all of this, the end of this story that is your story, if you have faith in God and you've been born again in him, the end of your story is salvation. That's what he's offering to us and reminding us of it. Your story is this story. And this story has been being told for generations before. Since the very beginning of time, prophets have talked about this story. He tells us in verse 10, they wondered as they wrote, they wondered as they preached, they wondered, they told the story, they knew it was true, they knew it was from God, but they didn't understand what all they were talking about. They had questions. They wanted to know who could do such a wonderful thing as this to make men whole and make men new and to forgive their sins. They were told, but they didn't understand. They wanted to know, when could such a thing as this happen? Verse 10, when could this happen? And how could this anointed one suffer so much and do so much? How could all of this come about, and how could it happen? And they were told, this is not for you to know. It's for them to know. They were told that their message was for you, and that satisfied them. They spoke what the Spirit told them, even though they didn't understand. And so they moved over and stood with the angels. Read the verse. They moved over and stood with the angels, and they wondered. They wondered, what is God up to? How is God going to be able to do this thing? And what these wonderful promises must mean. Look at verse 13. He said, knowing all of this, he tells you, sit up straight. Put your thinking caps on. Get ready for action, because the truth is coming to you. Get ready for action. All of mankind has been waiting eagerly for this good news, for what God is telling you. The curtain is opening, and you're about to see the mystery that's been hidden for generations, the mystery that is finally going to come about. Look, pay attention. Grace comes to you, and it's found in Christ Jesus. In verse 14, he says, this being true, what do? Well, we, like good children, obey our parents. But like good children obey their parents, we obey God. We listen to him. We pay attention to him. He's calling us out of this world. He's calling us home. He's calling us to be holy. He is holy, and he wants us to be holy. And he's calling us to join into this. And in verse 17, he says, we follow him like a child follows a parent, a father. We follow him. Now, we know that even though right now we're in a strange place, a dark room, we don't know where we are, we hear his voice and we follow him. We hear him calling, and we can obey his commandments, and we can respect him. Look at verse 18. We know what he did for us, so we respect him, and we believe him, and we follow him. We know that he brought us, he bought us by the blood of his own son, and we know that, and we believe that. And because of Jesus, we are believers, he tells us, through him, through Jesus. We put our whole weight down on this truth. Everything about us, everything we want, everything we desire, all of our hope, all of our future, we're willing to put it all on this one thought, this one truth of who God is and what he has done. Verse 22, he tells us, because of this great truth, this great gospel, because of this, our souls are purified. Because of this, we have obeyed the truth. Because of this, we love one another. Because of this, we've been born again. And through, here's another one, the living and abiding Word of God, all of this comes about. Because God never lies, and because God can do what he says he's going to do, and he did do what he said he would do, and he will do what he says he will do. Now, the living and abiding Word of God is different than anything else we've come across. In our short time on this earth, we are always saying goodbye to things. Relationships die. Our bodies die. The world around us is always in a sort of a chaotic decay around us. But the Word of God does not die. The Word of God abides forever. And we recognize that because we've heard these promises for so long and we've seen them kept. And we saw that Jesus came back from the dead, and he's promised us this thing. Everything else dies, flesh, grass. Look at verse 22, flesh, grass, everything, but not the Word of God. It remains forever. The good news, the gospel, this short chapter that he gives to us here, that he tells us this good news, he tells us the Word of God remains. Suffering does pass. What did he say? For a little while, you have to suffer various trials. We know that grass dies, trees die, worlds die, empires die, our bodies die, but the Word of God abides forever. For a little while we suffer, but the good news of God remains. And that good news is we're purified, we're made holy, we're given life, we will live again. All of this is through faith. All of this is through Christ Jesus. All of this is through his word, the good news that abides forever. If John and Paul and the writer of Hebrews were in the audience, they would all say, amen, Brother Peter. He's told it just the way it is. It is the gospel. It is the good news. Well, there's no doubt that we're in a dark place. There's no doubt that we're in a lost world. There's no doubt that we sometimes have a hard time finding our way. There's no doubt that we suffer. There's no doubt that we've sinned. There's no doubt that we need a Savior. All of those things are obvious to us. We've experienced it. The question is, do you hear his voice? Do you hear the good news that he's calling to you? Do you hear him calling you like a father calling his child out of a dark place? Come here, son. Do you hear him? That's what the gospel is. It is God calling us to be holy, calling us to be with him, calling us to life. Won't you hear his call? Won't you come to him while we stand and sing?